guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Good day, everybody. Hope you're having a fine day. It is Wednesday, so of course I'm going to be right here with you to go through some fun stories and talk about some Jesus stuff. So buckle up. First, I want to talk about a weird story from last night. We have a upcoming church picnic, chili cook-off. There's going to be lots of fun stuff happening. I got a mechanical bull coming, a bunch of bounce houses. Going to have live music. There's going to be burgers and hot dogs. It's going to be a lot of fun. It was a big success. We had it last year in the summer where it was, I think, 1,004 degrees, 100% humidity. It was terrible heat-wise, but it was a lot of fun. This year, moved it to November. It's cooler. It's nice. You know, I think it's going to be like mid-70s when it's happening. A lot going on. And I was really excited about it. But I combined a chili event and the picnic. So I'm entering the chili contest because I make the best chili in the world. I know. But anyways, so last night I was at home and I was like, I got to go get the materials for the chili. I got to go get ingredients and all that. So I decided to go to Aldi. And I asked Lola if she wanted to come with me. She said, yeah. So we go to Aldi's. And let me just say, I got a lot of the stuff I needed, but not everything. They don't necessarily have everything you need all the time. But then there's the center aisle that has all the weird stuff. And Lola loves the center aisle. She wants to buy something all the time. Not me. Usually I just go through and I just look at it and whatever. Not that I go to Aldi very often. I've been there a couple times in the past year, probably. But as we're walking down the center aisle, I see this big tray of candles. Like it's a package that has three Christmas tree candles. They're wood with the wax in the center. I think there's like six wicks on each of them. And then below it, there's a tag that says $20. I don't know about you, but when I see a package, a box, and then the price 20 below, that means it's $20 for that box. So I even called my wife. I texted her and pictures like, do you want this? And she's like, oh, that's pretty cool. I go, it's only $20. She's like, $20? That's amazing. I went, right. Does it smell good? And I'm like, it smells fantastic. It smells great. So she's like, sure, I'd love to have that. And I went, all right. Because she likes candles. And, you know, we're getting into the Christmas season. And it was a great deal. So threw it in the cart. Then I went about my business, got all the chili stuff and all that. So we go to checkout and there's a man there who is returning some salmon and it's in a garbage bag. It looks like maybe it could be leaking. And so I'm thinking, is this bad salmon? Is there some, why is he returning it? Well, he's returning it because the salmon that he bought was too much and he wanted a smaller piece. I don't know, but it was not in its pack. I don't understand the whole situation, but I can tell you that it was taking forever. Like I'm waiting and I'm like, of course there's somebody here returning fish, holding me up. I don't like to wait. I don't have patience is not a strong virtue for me. I don't have a lot of it. And I'm like, come on, man. So as that's happening, the line is getting longer and longer. And I'm waiting. Finally, it gets over. And I pull the cart over to, you know, because they don't have bags there or whatever. I drive the cart over and set it next to the person, the cashier. And she looks down at it. And she looks at me. And she goes, why didn't you put it on the belt? And that's a great question. Why didn't I put all of my groceries on the belt like a normal person that goes to a grocery store does? And I was like, oh, because I feel like Aldi is this weird alternate universe, weird grocery store where rules don't necessarily. And I look over at Lola. I'm like, Lola, you come here every Wednesday. Where was the heads up? What can you just, and Lola was like, what are you looking at me for? I wasn't paying attention. I was like, and then I have all these line of people that are just kind of looking at me. Now I'm the guy holding everything up. So I'm like, oh, so I hurry up and put it all down. Now it didn't take too terribly long, but that was a bonehead move right there. I was like, what is wrong with me? I still share blame with Lola. And also, where were all the other people in line seeing that I'm not putting anything on the belt? I feel like if I was on my game that day and somebody was in front of me was just had everything in their car to be like, hey, are you gonna buy this stuff? You should probably put it on the belt, you dummy. And but they were nowhere to be found too. So I feel like everybody is involved in this gaffe, this mistake that I had made. So then, this is not where the story ends. We get everything done, boom, out to the car, put everything in the bags that I had in the car, go home. And then Lauren keeps asking me about these candles. She's seen them, and I have them sitting over there, and she goes, so it was $20 for these candles. I go, yeah, $20, it's a great deal. And she goes, seems too good to be true. And I was like, she goes, how much was the bill? And I go, I don't know, 100 and some. And she was like, so it cost you $80-some for your chili ingredients. I was like, now I'm thinking, well, I mean, it is expensive to buy groceries, but I'm like, that does seem pretty. So then I go out to the car to get the receipt. No, it was $20 per candle, three in that package. So it cost $60 for the candles. I would never pay $60 for candles. Never, never. And I'm like, what? Well, you were returning them. And I go, this makes no sense because it's a package with three in there. And she goes, yeah, I think I just read on Facebook, there's like these Aldi groups and you're supposed to take the candle out of the package. Makes no sense. It's a scam system that they got going on at Aldi right there. So the moral of the story is I was definitely not on my game at Aldi last night. It's embarrassing. It was bad news. And so now, then I keep telling Lauren, I'm like, you're going to have to go return them. She goes, when am I going to get to Aldi? I'm like, you go every Wednesday. I haven't been to Aldi on a Wednesday in months. I don't know. But anyways, thought I would share that. Big mistakes were made last night. Mistakes were made. And so there we had. And I don't know what else we were going to talk about today. I mean, I don't think anything newsworthy happened yesterday that's worth talking about, did it? Well, if we're being honest, depending on what state you live in or what ideology you prescribe to, a lot of people are happy. A lot of people are upset. Silver lining, though, there's a lot of people out in the streets today. Some dancing and some might be burning some stuff down, some looting. I don't know. But what I'm not going to be talking about is politics today because it's not really my thing on here. Because the number one, my God is sovereign and is in control of it all. So I just have to trust in him. That's what we have to do if we're believers. But today's devotional can be used to care for, to comfort maybe some hurting people from, you know, the election, the results that came out, I suppose. Because today I want to talk about comforting hurt people in your life. And this topic didn't originate from thinking about the election or anything like that. The reason why is my oldest is sad right now. She's going through a rough patch. And could use comfort. And whoever's listening, if you could just pray for comfort and peace and healing for her, that would be great. Prayers are definitely needed. And also, this topic that I'm going to talk about, I am not saying that I'm good at this. You know, comforting, hurting people in your life. My wife would probably attest to that because a lot of times she is upset about things and she doesn't think that I'm the greatest comforter. Sure. But as Pastor David says when he teaches, I'm preaching to myself, and if anyone gets anything else out of it, that's just icing on the cake. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the scripture here. 1 Corinthians 1:3-4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves receive from God." So we need to be a source of compassion. And then if we read Isaiah 41:10, it said, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So when someone is hurting, they need more than just words. They need the presence, your presence, you know, someone who genuinely cares about them. That should be easy if we care about that person. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be there for them? Although sometimes I think we try to say all the right things, and sometimes I think we just need to be there with them. Now, that also is in the gray area too, because when Lauren is upset about things and I'm there but not really saying anything, she doesn't like that as well. I need to say things as well as be there. Work in progress. But as Christians, we are called to show compassion as God does for us, like in Isaiah 41:10 that I just read. It reminds us that God is always near to us in our struggles. When we comfort others, we can remind them that God is not distant or indifferent, but is present, holding them in their pain and offering them strength. And that's not always easy, because when they are going through that pain, they may not feel God's presence, or they may be like, "Why isn't God taking this pain away?" But even in those times, we need to be compassionate and patient. And so, as I said, this is not a strong point of mine. Patience and compassion isn't everybody's strong suits, like me. My patience is very low. And then they say, "Pray for patience." I don't want to pray for patience, because God's going to put me in situations where I need to be way more patient. You know, that kind of thing. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is compassion means sharing in someone's sorrow and walking alongside them in their pain. And it's more than offering like a quick fix, you know, telling them what they should do. It's offering our presence or our love and the assurance that God's help is near. So you have that. Let's be compassionate to them. Be a source of compassion. The next thing you need to do is offer hope through prayer. In Psalm 55:22, it says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." So the most powerful way we can comfort those who are hurting is by offering to pray for them and with them. And in the moments of suffering, it's easy for people to feel overwhelmed. I understand that. I get that. But Psalm 55:22 reminds us that God is faithful to sustain us. Prayer connects the suffering person to the infinite hope and strength that God provides. When we pray, we invite the person to cast their burdens on the Lord and to trust that he will carry them through their pain. And then prayer also reinforces the truth that we're not alone in these struggles. God is with us, and he has the power to bring peace and healing in ways that we may not fully understand. And that too is very hard. For all of us, really, that we may not fully understand how or when that healing is going to take place. I mean, here's the questions. Why can't it be immediate? Why do we have to wait for the pain and suffering to go away? Why does it have to be a long, drawn-out process? Why is this happening to me in the first place? I had it all figured out. My life was on track, and then boom, it all changes. Why did it all have to change? Those are questions we don't have the answers for, but the one who knows and is sovereign through it all, who loves us, is one prayer away. Pray for those loved ones, encourage them to pray for themselves. He's always available. He's right there listening. He does hear our cries. Then the last thing we need to do is encourage the endurance of this and the growth. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, "And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Comforting someone doesn't mean we take away their pain, even though that would be awesome. I wish I could take away my daughter's pain right now. I just wish I could take it. I will take it on myself. I wish when my wife was sad, I could just take it so that they feel better. But rather, we need to help endure it and see it as a path toward spiritual growth. Now, that's probably not something that you want to say to the hurting person right now. Well, this is just going to be building you up spiritual growth. Good for you. Be happy in your affliction. Let's boast in our afflictions. Let's be happy about it. I mean, if you were comforting something, and you said, you know, the reason you feel pretty crappy is that you're being sculpted and refined, and God's giving you endurance. He's giving you character and hope. Now turn that frown upside down. Get back out there, champ. It's not going to go over well. They're going to be pretty upset with you. But Romans 5, 3 through 5 still teaches us that suffering, while painful, has a divine purpose. It produces perseverance, which in turn builds character and fosters hope. And as we walk with others through this suffering, we can remind them that their pain is not pointless. It is part of God's refining process. Suffering shapes us, strengthens our faith, and leads us into a deeper dependence on God. And this truth can help hurting people gain a new perspective on their trials and see them as opportunities for God to mold them into stronger, more compassionate individuals. And here's something I would say about my daughter's situation is just a couple weeks ago, she got a tattoo. And she didn't know if I was going to be upset that she got a tattoo, but she sent me a picture of it and it said, "You're not finished with me yet." And it's a lyric from a song called "Canvas and Clay" that we've sung together. And it's about God changing you and shaping you and refining you, just like we've been talking about in this devotional about comforting others, whatever. And she can also look down, even though she's going through some pain and heartache and all that, she can look down and see that because she has a reminder on her arm that says, "You're not finished with me yet." So that's pretty cool. But it's also safe to say that those realizations, you know, that he's not finished, that he's sculpting you, you know, come after the period of suffering. They'll look back and see what the work that God was doing. Not necessarily in that moment when they're going through it. So through our own testimony in the future of endurance, we can help others trust that God's love is present in every trial, leading them into a greater life. Then you might ask, why do we have to go through this suffering? Wouldn't it be great if we could just get refined, without all that pain and suffering? And I wish that was the case, but that's just not how it's God made it, because there is purpose to suffering. And while it's still undeniably painful, it's also a tool that God uses to shape us into the people that he wants us to be. Just that scripture, Romans 5, 3 through 5, shows us that God can use suffering to produce perseverance, like I said, building character, and ultimately lead us to hope. And the hope, here's the thing, is not based on that on our circumstances right now, but the unshakable love God poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So when we comfort others, we can help them see that their pain is not in vain. God can redeem their suffering and use it to grow them in ways that lead to a greater life, a life marked by hope, strength, and deeper intimacy with Him. So as we comfort those in need, let's also point them toward the hope that comes from a loving and sovereign God who promises not to ever leave or forsake them, no matter how deep that pain. So as I said, I'm preaching to myself here. I'm not great at this. I'll admit it. But I think in my research the last couple days and really diving into this, I'm getting more of a perspective of it and a better way that I can be of comfort to someone who is suffering or struggling with something. And hopefully you did too, that maybe hopefully you got something out of this as well. So that's what I have for you today. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I will see you next Wednesday. All right, see ya.